fund?
The Wallace Foundation, supporting ideas, sharing solutions, expanding opportunities. On the web at wallacefoundation.org. And
Liberty Mutual, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance throughout the U.S. Information available at www.libertymutual.com.
The following is an encore presentation of Car Talk.
Is this the show that our listeners voted most wanted?
No, that's us. We're most wanted. Our shows are barely tolerated.
Well, tolerate this, guys.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Children's Literature Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this is actually things that elementary school kids wrote in papers and exams.
Oh, so this isn't literature
like
for children, it's by children.
It's by children.
Okay.
I mean, some of these were clearly tests of some kind, like this one. You can see what are the parts of speech. The answer was the parts of speech are the lungs and air.
Well, I can't argue. How about the lips?
The inhabitants of Moscow are called mosquitoes. This is a good one. Water is composed of two gins, oxygen and hydrogen. Oxygen is pure gin. Hydrogen is gin with water. Yeah, I mean, it's clever how they come up if it's true. The general, what is the general direction of the Alps? The general direction of the Alps is straight up.
I agree with that, too.
I got a couple more. You want some more?
Absolutely.
Iron was discovered because someone smelt it.
Perfect.
And the spinal column is a long bunch of bones. The head sits on the top and you sit on the bottom. I mean, it all makes perfect sense.
Just like our answers. So if you'd like some answers that are as inane as these, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8825.
Yeah, you know, a lot of our answers, I like that. It sounds right.
But, hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Annalise calling from Purchase, New York.
Anna?
Annalisa.
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 Yes.
One word?
All one word.
No kidding.
From Purchase.
From Purchase. I'm not actually originally from Purchase, New York. I'm from Logan, Utah, but I go to school out here.
Okay.
What's in Purchase, New York?
School, Purchase College.
Purchase College?
Yeah. Yep.
They teach you how to buy stuff.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, my wife went there.
So, Annalisa, what can we do for you?
All right. I drive a 1984 Honda Prelude. And I bought it for $1, and I drove it here from Utah.
No, and you made it? You made it.
I made it. And so this car has to last me until I graduate.
Are you kidding? You already got 10,000 times more than your money's worth out of it.
I know. That's what everyone says. They say, buy a new car. And I say, no, it has to last me till May this year.
Oh, just, okay.
Oh, we can do it.
Piece of cake. Go ahead.
So what's going on is when I'm idling, the car, it rests at 1,000. It's a stick shift. It rests at 1,000 RPMs, and it'll fall below that.
Okay.
And then jump back up.
To what?
Just to one. So it's kind of lugging and dropping down. It also did that at 60 miles an hour, which is a little bit frightening because I'm driving along, and the car starts lugging and shaking, and then I look down, and the RPMs are at zero. So
And then without your touching anything, it'll come back to whatever it was.
Exactly, yes. Yep, it's also having a hard time turning over. It'll catch, but it won't turn over sometimes, and it also stalls out occasionally. And I'm good with the stick shift. I'm good with the clutch.
Yeah.
Now, in May, when you graduate,
right?
Are you planning to drive this thing back to, what, Utah, you said?
No, I might try and sell it to another poor soul. I don't know.
For $1,500.
And it's got just shy of 200,000 miles on it.
Well, that's a selling point in itself.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if it had 170,000, it wouldn't be meaningful. But at 200,000, you'd say, hey, look, you know,
This thing is going to last forever.
It is.
If it lasted this long, it's going to last forever. Assuming you can fix this problem. If I'm not mistaken, this thing has a carburetor on it.
I think it is. It's not fuel injected, though, of course.
No, this is carbureted. And these carburetors are very complicated, and so is the emission control system associated with this. In fact, This car had, unfortunately, more vacuum hoses and more emission control little relays and solenoids and God knows what else. And it's not going to be something that you're going to figure out yourself.
Well, you know, it's at the mechanic right now, and he can't figure it out. It's been there for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you, it's very likely that it's flooding.
Uh-huh.
And that would make the RPM go down because it floods, and it's putting in so much extra gasoline that it's putting out the spark plugs.
Okay.
And then it stops flooding for a few seconds, and the RPM comes up, and it runs normally because the fuel-air mixture is correct.
Uh-huh.
But he's going to have to figure out, and the way we used to determine this primarily is by using the emissions tester and watching the emissions go cuckoo when it misbehaves. I mean, it could certainly be an ignition problem, too. You could have a weak spark because you have a weak coil or
right.
or something like that. But
that's what I thought it was.
But he's going to have to isolate one or the other. And he's going to have to see if, in fact, the spark is getting weak. He can do that with his oscilloscope if he has one. Or he can use the old method that we use with my brother, but having Tommy stick his tongue out and putting the coil wire on his tongue. And that worked as
that
well
works.
As anything.
That works.
How old is this guy who's working on this car?
Oh, I am middle-aged. I've been going to this mechanic since I've been here.
Is he 50?
Not quite that old.
He might not be old enough. Well, don't forget, the car is 20 years old. If he's 40, then he wouldn't have been working on these cars.
No.
I think 50 is, you got to look for someone who's 50 years old.
Okay.
Who has had the experience. And we used to work on these all the time because they did have these kinds of problems.
So are you over 50?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Woo! I wonder, is that what I'm going to look like when I get to 50?
But you're gonna find someone who's over 50 but still has some brain cells left.
Right.
So, but I think if this guy isn't familiar with Hondas, I think instead of taking it to the dealer, you might have to find someone in town that's a Honda specialist.
So what happens if I don't get this fixed?
Well, eventually...
No, you're going to get killed.
You're going to get stuck.
All right, so maybe I should just tell my dad I need a new car.
But let's look at the straight economics of it. Let's say that you spend some amount of money to get this fixed.
Right.
$300.
Right.
Right? And it does get fixed, and it lasts until May.
Right.
In May, your folks are going to get your new car for graduation.
No,
they're going to get
right.
an Audi TT. We know it. Well, they called us, and they asked us what we thought you would like. So if they're going to buy you a new car then, why not buy it now? Because this $300 that you spent, listen to this now, the $300 you spent to fix this thing is probably not going to be the end of the line. It may be that next month you spend another $200 or $300 to fix the next thing that breaks, and then you're never going to sell it for enough to recoup that money. So you're essentially throwing money down the drain.
Exactly.
This is exactly the equivalent situation that happens to my brother every time he fills up his gas tank.
Well, I really hope my father's listening right now.
I think so.
I hope so.
Well, he was. He just talked to us, and we told him the Audi TT is for you. What's your field, Annalisa?
I'm in cello performance. I'm a musician.
Oh, you'll be getting a Hyundai.
Yeah, it'll be cheap. And I'm very much against the Volkswagen Jetta, just so you know.
Oh, good for you.
Good.
Good for you. Yeah, you'll be getting a car with a hatchback. I see there's a Hyundai in your future. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Christy from Kent, Washington.
Hi, Christy.
Christy.
Christy with a K?
With a C.
Got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, my husband and I have a four-month-old son, so we don't get out much. We were thinking maybe we could go to the drive-in.
Yeah.
But my husband's afraid that if we go and we turn the car on the whole time to listen to the sound, we'll wear out the battery in the car. So he wants to bring our portable radio, which...
Oh, you know, my brother doesn't know this, because the last time he went to the drive-in, they weren't even talkies.
Well,
but the old drive-ins, and some of them still have them, had the speakers that you hung on your window.
See, this one, you turn on your radio.
You turn on an FM station or some such thing.
Right.
And so at 1400 AM, you hear the sound from the... And in order to do that, you have to turn the key on.
Right.
And your husband's worried that the 3 hours that you're there...
4 hours, yeah.
4 hours. Oh, yeah, because they always show two movies.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, one of them is always Spy Kids.
And the other one varies.
And by the time the other one comes on, you'll have fallen asleep, so it hardly matters. But no, it won't. 4 hours of running the radio will not kill the battery.
Okay.
I've been to drive-ins recently, and it won't. Unless there's something wrong with your battery, in which case, what better place to discover a dead battery than right at the drive-in?
Wait, when were you at a drive-in? There are no drive-ins around.
I went to the drive-in last summer.
Where?
In Wellfleet, Massachusetts.
Do you still pay by the person so you have to put
in
the trunk?
We had Luba in the trunk.
That's our little baby sister.
Yeah, and we let her out.
To save four bucks.
Let her out after the first movie was over. But, you know, it's interesting because, everyone knows that drive-ins used to be the safe haven for neckers and smoochers and whatnot. And I suppose it still is.
I hope.
But I guess I didn't remember that everyone who has like 9 kids has to go to the drive-in because otherwise you have to buy a ticket for each of those kids.
It must be a zoo.
So the car next to us looked like a Geo Metro, except 14 kids pile out of this thing, and there's like 6 of them on the roof. They got a couple of mattresses out there on the ground.
It's great.
And half of them were crying, screaming, fighting, biting each other. I had a great time.
That's the real reason why people go, right? To keep the noisy kids in the car.
It's great.
Absolutely.
And the portable radio is not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea, but you're not going to kill the battery as long as you use the accessory position, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And if it kills the battery, it'll just add to the adventure.
It will.
Have a great time.
Thanks.
See you, Christy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
Why has the drive-in theater disappeared?
Global warming.
I give up.
1-888. I'll explain the theory to you. Not today. I can tell you're not ready for it. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello.
Hello, man.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes.
Hello, boys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Who's this?
This is Fran from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Hey, Fran. What's going on, man?
Well, I got a question for you. It's kind of a simple question, but it's been bugging me and bugging my friends for a while. Is it possible to do any damage to a car's motor by draining the oil out through the oil filter port?
How do you propose to do this?
Well, you just take the oil filter off.
Yeah.
And stick a pan under it.
Stick a pan under it. Tip the car back and forth.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I keep messing up the nut that goes into the oil pan.
Yeah, but by doing what you're doing, you can't get all the oil out.
That's the
problem.
Yeah,
you can if you start the car.
Yeah.
Fran!
No.
What are you, crazy? You can start the car and you'll get all the oil out, but if you were 2 quarts low, wouldn't you be nervous about driving your car? And if you were 3 quarts low, you'd be even nervouser? And if you were 4 quarts low, which you are,
you'd be in an outright panic.
Yeah.
But it's only briefly.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
But it adds up. And every time you do, I mean, there's no question that any sound engine can sustain running without oil for a few seconds.
Yeah.
But if you do this every 3,000 or 4,000 miles or as often as you change the oil, you might as well, this is an interesting max min problem.
Exactly. You might as well not change the oil.
You'd be better off
You're
not changing.
Doing more damage by having it run on no oil. Is this like a 75 Chevy?
No, the one I'm doing to it now is a 99.
Oh! Is it your wife's car?
No, it's my car.
A 99 what?
99 Subaru Forester.
Oh!
I won't tell you about the 97 Outback I had.
See, this is one reason.
Did you say had?
Yeah, had. This is one reason. There are lots of reasons why we should never buy a used car, but this is one of them. Because you never know what kind of a nutcase. Owned it before you.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, let's go back to why you adopted this little plan. You said you're having trouble with the nut?
Well, every time I go to take the thing off, I can't find the right size socket, so I end up putting a press wrench on it.
Fran,
then when I tighten it back up, I always strip it.
Here's what you need to do. You go to the Subaru dealer.
Yeah.
Buy a new oil drain plug and a gasket.
Okay.
Then go to Sears.
Buy two of them.
Yeah, buy a couple of them. Exactly. Okay. Then go to Sears and buy the exact socket. It's either a 19 or a 21. I don't remember.
Right.
And buy a, if you don't have a ratchet handle, buy one of those too. And that will fit the thing precisely.
All right.
And then keep it somewhere that you're not going to lose it. And then the second one that you buy, keep that one in your underwear drawer. So you'll always have a backup.
Yeah. Now, this is a
backup. That's why I used to keep the other one.
Oh, man.
We get them all, don't we?
Fran.
That's a, Fran, I like the fact that you're thinking at least.
I was just going to say, I love the fact that you have come up with the scheme that you came up with.
Yeah.
If you guys say don't do it, I won't do it.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know what Ted Williams used to say? If you don't think too good, don't think too much. see you later.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
Oh, man.
Well, you're not going to believe this. You really aren't, but yeah. It's already time for us to take a short break.
Wow. You know, time really does fly when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we are having fun. When you think about it, I mean, we really enjoy our work. But think about all the people out there who don't. You know, when time stands still and they're watching the clock, counting the minutes till it's over.
Yeah, like all our listeners.
Stay tuned because we'll be back with more of your calls and some interesting mail in a minute.
Maria, how could you do this to me? You wanted to hawk the farm. You convinced my family to twist my arm. You said you lost an earring, but that's not perfume I smell. That's brake fluid you're wearing. You bled my brakes, and then you bled my heart. You cut my lines, and that's just a start. You wrecked my. Now I'm just another stand.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new Magliozzi Brothers 4-in-1 Miracle Oil, specially formulated for small engines, receding hairlines, lawn care, and acid reflux from National Public Radio, NPR member stations, and
TIAA CREF, serving the financial needs of those in the academic, medical, cultural, and research fields. Online at TIAACREF.org/greater good.
And the Pew Charitable Trusts, serving the public interest through information, policy solutions, and support for civic life. Online at pewtrusts.org. And
the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, online at mott.org, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society.
And even though the Smith brothers have coughing fits whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Weekends are a time for exploring, whether it's deep sea diving or finding deeper meaning in the week's top news. On All Things Considered, on the weekends, we'll take you along as we delve into the newest fiction and art or hear about the latest scientific discovery. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Join me weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News.
You can hear All Things Considered this afternoon at 4 o'clock on KUAF. Car Talk is supported by our contributing listeners and by the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal. The current edition spotlights upscale furnishings. 582-9477 or nwabusinessjournal.com for daily e-news registration or information. And our programming is also brought to you by Gray Johnson Realty in Fort Smith, specializing in fine homes, on the web at grayjohnson.com. Featuring a virtual tour of each home listed, mortgage calculator, and relocation survival kit. For more information, 479-649-1996 or grayjohnson.com.
Hi, right, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, naturally, car repair, and something from the hate mail division.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say hate mail division.
No? Okay.
No, well, let me read you a couple of letters which seem to be somehow related. Here's one. Mm. You know how it is, you sit there and you read your mail, and you say, isn't that nice?
Mm.
We're really doing a service to the world. Mm. We're helping people.
Yeah, well, it's not the mail I get.
All right. Dear guys.
Oh. You stupid ass. Oh, that's the way you...
And not dear guys. It says, hey, guys. This is from, we can't even tell you who it's from. Bob Anderson is his name. Love your show. Been listening for years and I've managed to get my 9, soon-to-be 10-year-old hooked on it as well. Anyway, I think this is a great story. The other day, I had just gotten a new lawnmower and was having difficulty starting it. My 9-year-old kid walks by. He stopped. He watched me mumbling and sweating, and then he said, it's flooded, Dad. You have to pull the plug, clean it, dry it, and you might have to regap it and then try starting it then. I stopped him and I said, hey, what does that mean? His reply was, I don't know, but I heard it on Car Talk. Thought yous would like to know that you are molding young minds.
Yes.
See, now that's the kind of mail.
Melting is more like
that's the kind of mail that you say that.
But that makes you feel good.
The very next letter.
Oh, okay. I had a feeling.
Guys, just wanted to let you know, you make my 3-year-old boy, Joshua, cry. We're driving along. I turn on your show. He starts to cry. I change the station. He stops. I turn back to the show. He starts crying again. Every time I tried to put your show on, because it is one of the best shows on the radio,
yes, yes.
My kid starts to cry.
Yeah. Our kids used to cry, too.
They still do. So that makes you have pause.
Those are opposite ends. Well, kind of.
And here's one that's in the middle somewhere. Oh, that last one was from Kevin Chase. This one's from Kathy McCormick. Before I started listening to Car Talk, I knew absolutely nothing about cars. Now, many months later, I still know nothing about cars, but I don't care anymore.
That's great, Kathy. That's what we're shooting for.
I mean, what does that all mean?
I don't know what it all means, but I like it. By the way, if you have anything that'll make my brother laugh, which isn't saying much because a glass of grapefruit juice makes him laugh, you can email it, see? You can email it to him from cartalk.com. And while you're there, you can also check out this week's classic puzzler from the archives.
What do you mean by classic, exactly? What does that mean?
Old.
I gotcha.
If you'd like to talk about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Hoppy calling from Bethel, Alaska.
H-O-P-P-Y?
Certainly. That sounds good.
it's like happy, but with an O instead.
Good. You got it. Like a rabbit.
And yeah. Bethel, Alaska.
Bethel.
Bethel. We're with you, Hoppy.
I've got an 89 Mazda pickup. And yeah. I'm on my third starter since fall of 93. The second starter was put in the spring of 94.
Okay.
And it died last week, and a new one was put in. And that one is already starting to die.
What year is it now in Alaska?
Yeah, I keep getting my dates wrong. We are in the 2000s now, yeah. I've had 3 die in less than a year.
How much are these starters costing you?
They're costing $350 approximately, but that doesn't count the labor, which is $100 an hour.
Wow.
How much is that in frozen fish? do you have family down in the lower 48?
Sure do, yeah.
Can we send them to rescue you? What the hell are you doing up there?
Well, I like to fish a lot.
Yeah, we have fishing in Minnesota, you know.
Yeah, you could live in California and go fishing.
we have good salmon. California has fake salmon.
Yeah, but you can get salmon that's shipped down from some crazy person in Alaska who's catching it. And you could be in civilization.
Right, you could be living it up like Wayne Newton in, you know, Venice Beach.
Hey, she's made her choice.
Well, I know that.
You must be having fun up there.
It is very fun, yeah, except it gets a little cold sometimes.
Does it now?
Well, I suspect you're buying rebuilt starter motors, by the way.
Yes, I know.
And I'm going to suggest that you buy one from Mazda, right from Mazda, and not buy one of the aftermarket ones. And
because whoever is rebuilding them doesn't know how to. If she had to put three in a year, there's something wrong.
And what's wrong is the starter motors themselves. Nothing else. I think what you're trying to find out from us, Oppie, is whether something else in the car is shortening the lives of these starters.
A drunk man on the street suggested that it was my solenoid that was getting zapped by an electrical problem, and then a sober man suggested the same thing, totally separately. So I was starting to wonder if I have an electrical problem ruining the solenoid.
No.
Well, the solenoid is part of the starter in this case. You do not have a solenoid that's detached from the starter.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, when you buy a new starter, you are getting a new solenoid with it.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those guys were drunk.
Right.
So pay no attention to what either of them said. You're buying junk starters. The only other thing it could be is what's wrong with my car. That the teeth on the flywheel. What happens when you try to start it now?
It just cranks over and over and over and never starts.
What do you mean crank? It goes wah, 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 wah? No.
Exactly.
It does.
Well, that's not...
Then you don't... That means the starter's working.
That's the only thing that's working.
Yeah, you don't have any problem with the starter.
Oh.
You may not have needed the last starter.
Oh, no, no. I think what it does is it doesn't do that. Is there a difference in the sound, Hoppy, between when it starts and when it doesn't start? Is there a difference in the sound the starter makes?
No. Each time it sounds like it's never going to start. It's this low noise.
Okay, and if it does do this...
But when it does start, does it make exactly the same noise?
No. A moment before it starts, there's a different noise, and I know it's going to start.
How about the 10 seconds before it starts? When you turn the key all the way clockwise, the first noise you hear is... Ah, 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 ah.
And then there's a click and boom, it goes, yes.
And when you turn the key and it doesn't start, does it go, ah, 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 and just keep doing that?
Yes.
And it doesn't sound any different?
I don't think it sounds too different, no.
Well, here's what it would sound like. Instead of it going, ah, 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 does it sound like this? Woo!
I don't think so.
Come on, we're trying to help you here.
Come on!
Work with us.
My car never goes.
Okay, then it's not the starter. The starter is working perfectly fine.
Well, I'm not 100% convinced of that. I mean, the guys who have diagnosed the starter as being bad, they have had it in their possession. These guys who are charging you $100 an hour, they have had it in their possession when it didn't start. Is that true?
No, I don't. I usually don't wait for it to be completely dead and never starting. I have to crank it and crank it and crank it and crank it and crank it. It takes, sometimes 20 minutes to get the car going.
Yeah, and these guys have told you that you need a starter.
Yeah.
These guys are crazy.
But everybody who walks into my driveway when I'm trying to start my car, because I sometimes get an audience, they all say, your starter's gone.
Well, then you know what? I'm going with that.
I'm not.
I'm going with it 100%.
They're a bunch of crazies.
Well, they may be a bunch of crazies and a bunch of drunks. But I'm going to think that the average person on the street, and you've got, these are unsolicited pieces of advice. These are just drunk stumbling by saying, "I need a star motor." You know, they can't all be wrong.
What, 20 drunks can't be wrong?
20 drunks can't be wrong. Has any one of these drunks offered any alternative explanation?
No, even the sober people, even airplane people think it's the starter.
And I think it's the starter, too, but it could be the flywheel. You could have bad teeth in your flywheel, and you're going to have to ask these guys who replaced the starter again, or at the very least to take the thing out and turn the flywheel 360 degrees and look at all the teeth. Because I have a funny feeling that maybe you've got bad teeth in on your flywheel, and the starter is not, in fact, engaging the flywheel correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll hear, instead of the sonorous, you'll hear, gring, gring. And I think that's maybe what these people are hearing, these drunks.
I hear a grating noise sometimes.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
And I think you don't need all these starters. What you do need,
is
a new mechanic and maybe a new flywheel.
Well, do you want $100 an hour?
We'll be right up. Good luck, Hoppy.
Thank you very much. Have a good
day.
And don't forget, your family is waiting for you with open arms if you decide to come back. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andy from Middletown, Connecticut.
Hi, Andy.
Middletown.
Yeah. My brother has made many a trip to Middletown, Connecticut.
Could it have anything to do with Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut?
Yes, it could have something to do with that.
I see. Well, I could be on the faculty there, so...
I'll be careful.
All right.
I have nothing bad to say about Wesleyan University.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
That's good.
What do you teach, though?
Classical studies. Greek and Latin, ancient history, mythology, stuff like that.
You may have had my son in a couple of classes because he majored in philosophy.
I might have.
You'd remember him because he was a loud snorer.
Oh, he's the guy with the stuffed animals in
That's
the
background.
That's him. Yeah,
okay,
got it.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, where were we?
Here's the situation.
Yeah.
I learned long ago that it is safer to drive with your car doors locked on the highway because if you're in an accident, especially at high speed, you're safer in the car than being tossed from it. So I lock the doors.
Mm-hmm.
My kids think, my daughters think, well, this is just Dad being weird, so what else is new? My wife, however, has much stronger objections and says this is actually unsafe because if we do, God forbid, get in an accident and the electronic locks are all down, then it would make it much more difficult for emergency personnel to get to us or for us to get out. And so there's the dilemma that I'm presenting to you guys, and we have, of course, agreed to abide by your decision.
You have?
Have you?
There's no money that's been wagered on this, the outcome of this.
No money.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, you know,
it is safer to be in the car than to be thrown out of it.
Yeah.
But